When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're listening to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast with Karen McMahon. We invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and enable you to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce.
Divorce is like a foreign land filled with unfamiliar rules and jargon and pressure to make complex decisions that will impact the rest of your life. Don't go it alone. Go to rapidreliefcall.com and get the support and guidance you need.
Welcome to Voices of Celebration. This series is designed to inspire and encourage you as we share real-life experiences of former Journey Beyond Divorce clients who invested in their personal growth through divorce and emerged a better version of themselves with a more rewarding post-divorce life.
The regret for me was I feel like I wasted all those years in an unhappy marriage, and I could have already moved on and moved forward and grown and become the better person that I was hoping to be getting out of this. And so, thanks to you, we walked through regret, and it showed me that I did do everything I could possibly do, and I did stick in there.
Welcome back to another episode of Voices of Celebration. I am very excited about today's guest, a former client of mine, Maria. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. Maria, I'm going to ask you if we could start with what made you reach out to me, because your starting point is a little different than some of my other interviews. What made you reach out to Journey Beyond Divorce to begin with?
Well, I was struggling. I was divorced, I'm going to say probably about, it had been 2 years, but I was still struggling with, I had no sadness, but I was dealing with anger, resentment, and regret. Because I couldn't get past wondering if I should have done things earlier, if I should have done something earlier. My husband ended up cheating on me, which is why we were divorced. And also, I just had so much anger that I couldn't get past. And I felt resentment and regret, resentment towards him and regret that I didn't do something sooner, basically. And I needed help with that.
And how long were you married?
I was married 12 years. We were together 14 years, married 12.
Right. And how would you describe what led to the dissolution? Was it the cheating? Was it other things in the relationship as well?
There were many things in the relationship. I realized throughout many years, I guess we were probably unhappy. I was unhappy for about 3 years prior to the divorce, but it was more of the selfishness and feeling that I was not important enough for my husband. Everyone else was more important than me. And he would be this happy, fun guy with everybody else. But inside the house, it was a different story. Sometimes we always take out things on the ones we love the most. And this is very true in our relationship, where I didn't quite understand it. And he was just selfish. Everything was about him all the time. Every day, every moment was something about him. My needs were never met. We never got to talk about me or what did I want to do and what was my interest and how was your night? How was your day at work? How was this? How was that? It never existed in our lives. And looking back, he was lots of fun and we loved each other very much. And in the beginning, I'm very selfless, so it worked very well. But then as my needs grew, I suppose, they just weren't met and we were just not growing together. We were completely growing apart.
Right. And then he has an affair. What do you think the regret was about?
For me, the regret, I feel like I should have done something before it led to 3 years of unhappiness. I kept thinking, well, I should have left earlier. I should have just made that decision. I knew I was unhappy and I kept thinking, no, it'll get better. No, things will be like they used to be. It's a phase he's going through. I really thought maybe it was a midlife crisis because the signs were there. He bought this fancy car. He quit a job, started another job. And just, I just thought, you know, I knew what it could be and what it once was. So I thought, no, this will work out. This will work out. It's just a phase. It'll get better. And so my regrets were, I now knowing what I know, I feel like, no, I should have left.
Right. And regret is a dangerous story. I remember that's where we began our work, is that you were really dogged by regret. And the thing about regret is you can't change the past. So now you're just dogged by it. And what happened? How did you begin to dislodge yourself from that place?
The regret for me was, I feel like I wasted all those years in an unhappy marriage and I could have already moved on and moved forward and grown and become the better person that I was hoping to be getting out of this. And so thanks to you, we walked through regret and it showed me that I did do everything I could possibly do. And I did stick in there. And my parents are still to this day married. They're 60 years married. And I come from a family of values and traditions. And not that divorce isn't an option. Of course it is. So it wasn't, and it wasn't a religious thing either. It was just a thing. Sometimes things aren't great and you can work through them. And so I was stuck on that. But my regret was just, when we started talking about what did I actually regret, you pointed out that as we walked through it and you had me say it out loud without even knowing I was going to say it out loud, I didn't have any regrets because I really did try everything I possibly could. And I did some silly stuff that women do. I read books about, am I controlling? Am I this? Am I that? Am I nagging? I'm like, well, I didn't think I was, but I read books and I started to change things. I'm like, all right, this will work. This will work. That's probably the codependent part that we'll probably get into because we discussed that as well. But you just helped me through the fact that the regret was, there is none. There really is none. I did everything I could and I came out feeling better.
And I think I remember that so clearly. And the regret story is usually, had I done something different, my situation would be better, which is always like, well, maybe, maybe not. And you did what you did anyway. And the other interesting thing is your regret was, had I left sooner, I could have gotten on with my life. And yet the regret after leaving was keeping you from getting on with your life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's
it
like,
completely was. Right. And it really, for me, thank you to you, I believe we hit it like within an 1 hour talking to each other, all the feeling that I had. And it wasn't every single day I felt this regret, but the feelings come up, something happens and you feel it. And it was literally gone, like in the snap of a finger, when you pointed out or helped me point out that, no, I don't have any regret. And I moved forward just as quickly as I just said that.
So quickly, so brilliantly. It was like you were freed in a hot second once you put all those pieces together in your head.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that. I remember that being really powerful and speaking to you, Maria, and your ability to be open and look at other perspectives and then like really roll up your sleeves. And what do I need to do to get to where I want to be? And so I really want to honor you and the work that you do and that you did with that. And with the regret came this, we're going to talk about emotional energy, came this really depleting conflict energy, this resentment energy that you had. And even just offline before, you were saying who you were actually resentful for. Can you just share a little bit of that?
Absolutely. That was another part of me contacting you, was regret and resentment. And I, for the 2 years prior to our first conversation, the resentment was all towards my ex-husband. I resented him and I resented things that I thought he was doing, where it was really me that was doing them. And for example, my husband sang and played piano at night, and therefore he'd come home often late. Although he could come home earlier, he would stay out late and come home and sleep in. And if I had a day off, I was looking forward to spending time with him. And I would ask, please come home early so we can get up and have a nice breakfast, take our dogs out, go somewhere, do something. And he'd often stay out too late and be sleep in. And I'd be up and sitting on the couch waiting for him to get up, waiting for him to get up. And now it's 11 o'clock and I'm mad because we're supposed to do something. And the resentment was all about, I resented him. Why couldn't he just come home one time for me? I worked 12-hour days, so I worked a lot, so I wasn't home often. So I cherish our days off together, and I was hoping that he would as well. And the resentment was all going just directed towards him constantly. And a second eye-opener within an instant of explaining to me, and this is the example, and I can remember it like it was yesterday, and this is, what, 2 years since we've been through this, that I gave that, what I just explained about him sleep, saying he'd come home early and we can get up and do things. And I'm sitting on the couch waiting for him, and I have a small house, so I have to be quiet and walk in. And now I'm mad at him. And the resentment is me. I didn't do anything about it. And all those resentments, and I could tell numerous stories, but they all lead down the same path. And that is that the resentment is me. I did nothing about it. I could have just gone and went out with my day and just carried on, or go wake him up and say, get up, you promised we'd be doing something. But I never did any of that. I just let him do this to me over and over and over. So the resentment was really towards me. And so I let go of all the resentment because I realized I'm carrying it towards him, but it was me.
And I think part of that process, if I remember correctly, was your also having to forgive yourself for being there and not acting differently, just not being aware. That happens to all of us. It's like we're not even aware that there's another option. And so we're sitting here in our own stuff. And so that forgiveness that you didn't know any better and so you couldn't have done, right? Because that's that step that gets you into higher energy levels, is owning it, but also forgiving yourself for it.
Well, right. And that was big because I had to, I mean, that was a few years of doing that. And that will lead probably into the codependency, but that was me being codependent as well. Being, well, I want to make him happy still, but I'm not making me happy. I'm waiting around for him. And the resentment was just building and building and building. And the resentment's really, I needed to let it go and forgive myself that, okay, well, it goes alongside of the regret, you know, where it's possible that you could have changed something. So stop resenting someone else and just move on and know that you can forgive yourself for all of that, right, for sure.
And learn from it. Right.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. Right. Learn, carry it on to your life, really, not just your next relationship, but your life in general.
And I feel like this next topic that you've raised, the codependence, was a really big piece for you. What part of what connected you to your ex-husband, right? That his selfishness and your caretaking tendency. And,
yes.
And we did a lot of work around that, both like, how did I become this way? And mm-hmm. how is it showing up in my life? And can you share a little bit of that part of the journey?
Sure. We actually, which was the first time that I had ever even thought about this, but you brought out where it may have originated, which was in my sister, having grown up with someone who was jealous of me, and I was always codependent, and I didn't realize it, but codependent, always protecting her in a way because I didn't want to be the taller one, the skinnier one, the prettier one, the funnier one, the smarter one. I didn't want to be that because it wasn't an envy that she had of me. It was a jealousy. And so that's where my codependency start. And thanks to you, we brought that all out. But moving forward and just in my life in general, I'm very codependent. I still am a bit, but I can recognize it now and shift where if someone says, hey, can you come real quick over? My dog got out and I can't get my dog. And although I'll help anybody in an emergency, but if I can't do something, they're not going to not like me because I didn't do it. And there's where that codependency that we were like, that was a light bulb moment for sure. You know, there was a speaker that I once heard say, choose discomfort over resentment. And I carry this from what you've taught me as well. Whereas I don't always have to say yes to everything and yes to everyone. And that codependency in me and wants to please everybody constantly. And if someone needs me at work and I already have a whole day planned, I'd often say, sure. Oh, you know, sure. I'll come to work. Well, I don't owe anybody anything. No, I don't. That's not my day to work. I don't have to go. So that uncomfortableness of that moment of choosing discomfort to say no, it's okay to say no. And my codependency with my ex-husband was to the extreme, of course, because I loved him so much and I put him first for everything. And it destroys me because I just was not doing anything. I was never putting myself first. And that's just wrong because you need to be happy too. And there's a good, you can go compromise, you can be in between, but I wasn't that. And so that codependency was, and you've helped me understand that you don't have to be so codependent. You can do things for yourself.
Divorce is like a foreign land filled with unfamiliar rules and jargon and pressure to make complex decisions that will impact the rest of your life. Don't go it alone. Go to rapidreliefcall.com and get the support and guidance you need.
Do you love podcasts? Well, I do too. Hey folks, I'm Clint Powell and I host a number of podcasts and I want to share a few of them with you. During the Break podcast is my legacy podcast. We talk business, politics, relationships, culture, all with interesting people. Give us a listen at DuringTheBreakPodcast.com. And if you love adventure in the great outdoors, give Dayfire Podcast a listen. I host it with my friend and the founder and former owner of Rock Creek Outfitters, Dawson Wheeler. We talk climbing, hiking, biking, paddling, running, camping, the van life, conservation, and gear. All wrapped in stories of adventure from around the country and from around the world. Find us at DayfirePodcast.com. All of my podcasts can be found on your favorite podcast platform. Oh, and if you like crime podcasts, give thecrimecast.com a listen.
For those of us who have a huge caretaking heart, it's finding the balance between being a caretaker and having a heart of service and support and being codependent. And we talked a lot about, well, what's the tipping point? And you just said it so beautifully. If I'm afraid that you're not going to like me or love me, if I'm doing it out of a place of fear or need to be acknowledged and appreciated, Right. Then it's unhealthy. If I'm doing it like with my kids, if I'm doing it because I love you and you need something and I'm happy to help, that's a healthy.
That's different, right. Yeah. Right. It's very healthy to be kind and do nice things for people. It's not healthy to constantly do some things that you don't want to do and make yourself unhappy. And there's so many moments I've had that even when I was still married, I started to shift a little bit and do my best where I love to volunteer at the SPCA. And I would say to my ex-husband, let's go to the SPCA tomorrow at 9 and volunteer. And he'd, okay. And then there would be one of those nights where he's out late and he's not getting up. And then maybe I wouldn't go. So I learned that I need to just say, I'm going to the SPCA at 9 a.m. I would love for you to come. And that's it. And I don't expect him to come. If he comes, it's a bonus because I do want to spend time with him. It's my only day off, but I desperately want to go see these animals and take care of the animals. And so that was a big shift. And that was prior to us meeting. But the biggest shift when then you and I met was I was still being codependent in life. And I had moments and we called it a hot pepper moment, if you remember. And I was in the grocery store and I had a new relationship, my first relationship since my ex and I were no longer married. And a little bit was carrying over and I was trying really hard to develop kind of my new self. And I was at the grocery store and I wanted to make us a beautiful Italian meat and cheese plate, and he loves hot food and I do not. And I was picking out hot peppers and hot spicy meats and even olives, and I don't like olives. And then I put them in the basket and I was thinking of you, and I looked down and I was like, what am I doing? This is the codependency that we just talked about. This is codependency. He is going to like whatever I make for him. I do not need to just pick out things he likes. I'm going to pick out everything I like because I know he likes what I like. So I put everything back. We called it a hot pepper moment. And I realized he's still going to like me the same. He's still going to eat the food. He's still going to love the evening. It doesn't have to be all about him. So I bought things that I liked. And it was a big turning point because then moving forward in life, in my relationship, I learned I'm kind and I still do beautiful things for other people, but it's not with paying a price for myself and my happiness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I remember the hot pepper moment. And what was so cool about that was then you just would refer to whenever you noticed that you were being codependent. It was like, Karen, I had another hot pepper moment and I caught myself or I didn't catch myself. And that was brilliant. And the other thing I recall with you was your life was actually going really well. You were in this new relationship. And so there weren't like conflicts and crises to work through this work. It was much more nuanced. And so we ended up talking about pickleball a lot, didn't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
And we weren't talking, although I was very interested and I've learned more since about pickleball, we weren't talking about it for the game. And at one point you said, I know it sounds so silly, I'm bringing up another pickleball thing, but we both immediately acknowledged, no, you're not. You're actually bringing up a codependency thing that's happening on the pickleball court.
And absolutely.
And can you share a little bit about, because there was another big one.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Going back to what my feelings were in my relationship, where I was disappointing, I wasn't good enough, I wasn't enough. And so on the pickleball courts with my relationship, my partner happens to be my boyfriend, and I was feeling like I wasn't good enough and I was disappointing. If I didn't do something well on the court, it was all coming, everything was coming back. And in our relationship off the court, beautiful couple, and we have an amazing relationship with respect and trust and everything you need in a relationship. But yet here I am on the courts bringing all of the things that were stirring inside of me on the court, because in pickleball, you play with one partner. And that was where I was, all these feelings were showing up that I was back to not good enough. I was disappointing him. And that was not true, but I couldn't shake that. So you and I would discuss it. And then I'd be like, okay, we'd break it down. We would, you know, discuss it and analyze it. And we'd come back to, okay, that's what happened. I then went back right into my own deep wounds and felt I wasn't good enough and I was messing up, but he wasn't seeing that. So the next day I'd go out there and I'd text you or call you and say, I nailed it. I went out there and I just went strong and nailed it. And it's true. And that's what I did, because it wasn't about the game. It wasn't about how I was or wasn't playing. It was all about the narcissism that I dealt with in the marriage, feeling those feelings again, which I feel like you don't even realize you're going through that when you're going through it.
Because there's so much going on.
Yes.
And one of the conversations I recall was that he was, I don't remember if he was having a bad game or if he stepped in and took your ball, like took your shot. And I remember you saying to me, if it was any other guy, I would have opened my mouth right away, but I didn't. I behaved differently and I noticed it right away. That was powerful.
Yes, absolutely. Because my emotions were involved in it because we are in a relationship. And yes, I was feeling like putting blame on me for something that I didn't do anything, right? And there were also moments where he was not happy on the courts or he had an attitude, but that it really wasn't towards me, but I was taking all of it and shifting all that energy like it was my fault. And it wasn't. It was just like, he got up and stubbed his toe, had a bad day, and he was in a bad mood. It had nothing to do with me, but because of what I had, I'll say, drilled into me for a few years in my marriage, I just put it all on you.
And I recall you saying how well your games went. Like, you, first of all, listeners, Maria and her boyfriend and partner are like really enjoying and stellar on the pickleball court to begin with. But once you worked out these things, even though we weren't working on your pickleball game,
No, we were not.
Went way up.
Correct. Right. Yes, because I got to walk out there knowing that it wasn't really anything I was doing out there. It was just feelings of almost like an insecurity out there because of the forced feeling I have to be good enough all the time.
Yep. And it's amazing how here you're like, just as a pickleball player, you were clearly very, very skilled. And so it's such a good point that our thoughts and our feelings can undercut our skill set on any front at any time. And to be able to solve the right problem. So for you, it wasn't like, I need a trainer to work on my pickleball game. It was like, no, I need to.
I needed Karen. I needed Karen. I am an athlete to the core. I do not need help in pickleball. It was Karen I needed.
you know, the other thing that I just remember really you embracing so much and using as such a powerful tool is our seven levels of energy. And can you share a little bit about what the concept of having seven levels of energy and being able to move into whatever emotional level you want to be in? How did that land with you and how did it impact your life since?
Oh, sure. That the chart is something that I just found like a step process where you have so many emotions when something happens. You're angry, you're sad, you've got all kinds of emotions and you're not quite sure how to deal with them. So this chart takes you every level of emotion and each emotion, and it lets you climb through what you're feeling and educate yourself on the moments you're having and then what to do with it and how to get to the next step and the next step and the next step. And then it opens your eyes to what's really happening, which typically it's not anywhere near what you felt. And what happened the very first time we used this chart is a woman that I had once worked for had slandered me a bit. And this is just the person that she is, and she's never going to change. And all the things I wanted to do, I wanted to confront her and talk to her and write her a letter and then do this and that. And I was angry. And then there were so many emotions I had, but once we walked through it, it was really like, well, she's not ever going to change. She's going to do the same thing tomorrow. So what should I do about it? How can I work through where are my feelings? And you'll need to remind me exactly. I don't remember where the steps go, but we know what it starts with.
Yeah. So the lower levels are victim and conflict, right? So victim and anger or conflict. And then you go into that taking personal responsibility and forgiveness is level three. And then you go to compassion, peace, and joy.
And I do remember specifically because you do start out angry, but then you're able to flip it from you and put it on the person that's causing this to you and realize, wait a minute, I feel bad for her actually. And we did that. We did that with this incident and I was furious. And we did it in a way that I actually did feel compassion for her because she is a miserable human being. And that's why she did it, because she is so awful and needs to do that because her own insecurities project such negativity and bad things throughout her life. And so then, well, there's nothing I need to do because she's never going to change. She's the one that's has the issue and I could just get past this now. And one of the things we did is I wrote a letter. I think I ended up writing like 5 pages and I wrote down everything I would say to her and then I burned it and it was out and it was gone. And I was like, oh, that was easy.
Have you lost yourself in your marriage, fallen into self-doubt, insecure, and uncertain of your own viewpoints? If you've disappeared behind the shadow of your partner's personality, the Reclaim Your Mind free mini course will help you understand how you got here and the exact steps needed to regain control of your life. Go to jbddivorcesupport.com/reclaimyourmind and get started today.
You just described, you started at victim. How could she do this to me? You went right into anger. You son of a gun, I got things to say to you. You went up to, well, wait a second. She is this way. She's going to be this way. Why am I taking this personally? Why am I taking this unhappy woman personally? Oh my God, right. She's so unhappy all the time. Bump, right up to compassion. I feel really good. And you just, and I love the energy chart because it's like stepping into an elevator and saying, I don't want to be in victim. I want to be in compassion, or I want to be in peace, or I want to be in joy, and making those mental and emotional shifts to get there. And that's what you were able to, you did that in one session.
And that really was how it worked. I was so angry. I think I called 6 different people, effing her off. And I remember feeling that anger, like I was so angry. And then that chart we worked through, and then suddenly I was like, oh, yeah. And I was so calm, and I felt like I had just done yoga and meditated. I'm like, yeah. And then I was like, well, she is never going to change, and she might do this tomorrow again. So why am I feeling all this and wasting my good day on her? And then it worked magically. And I've used it many times since, because you don't realize where your emotions are going until you can walk through them properly. And really, it's almost like you physically see your emotions when you use this chart.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And then the more you do it, that skill of naming the thought, connecting it to the emotion, challenging both of those, and then leveling up, shifting up.
And to be honest, usually it's if you can just stop your emotion for a moment and see what that other person is projecting and really where they're coming from, it really usually is that other person. I think 99, you have your days where something affects you and you're like, oh, why did that annoy me today? That would not normally annoy me. But it is true that then you just kind of flip it onto the other person. Not that you're putting blame or shifting anything, but it's, you understand where it came from, another person who's not the person that you should be feeling this coming from.
Well, and I think that's that second piece of it is, okay, why is this displeasing person who is unhappy every day? Why am I taking her personally? And that's the beginning of that's poking as well. Okay, she's miserable. She hurt people. What's my part, right? That's that level 3. What's my part? I'm really angry. I'm really taking this personally. Is it personal? No, it's not personal. And it's just that gentle inquiry to poke and dislodge that locked in thought. And then your emotions shift immediately.
And that is it. You said that good, just to like, you almost unlock that. Like now your anger is shifted to the next emotion, whereas you can then start to walk through it and figure out what is that and why, where's it coming from and why. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
And I could let that go. Right. Then all of a sudden, I could let that go. I'm not attached to that anymore. I can just let that go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. We talked that day and I was calling her. I was marching into her office. I was this and this. And then that by the end of the hour, it didn't even take an hour. I was like, oh, life is good. And again, I don't even care. It really did work out well. Yeah. You remember that? I was like, oh, I'm so happy.
And I do just want to acknowledge you again, Maria. I think that you're a very quick study, and it's always fun to work with people who are like so ready, so hungry and thirsty for it, and so quick to move. And the work that you did was so significant and quick.
It was quick and it felt really good. And I often wondered, it had taken me 2 years to contact you. Did not know about you. Someone had recommended. And I feel like I put in the work. I did put in the work, which you have to put the work in. And I was ready for it because although it wasn't every day I was feeling these, but it would just creep up in unexpected times. And I was kind of mad that here I am 2 years out of my divorce and I still have these feelings. And I still would once in a while walk around the house saying things out loud towards my ex-husband or something that I did one day. I'd be so grumpy. And I'm like, why is this person? Why is he coming back into my mind? What just happened? And it was the resentment, the regret, the codependency that I, you know, things would be like, why did I do this that day? And it didn't really matter. It didn't really matter. But you were the one that helped me to really clear it. But I think I would just say you do have to put the work in. Like, it's not just going to magically disappear. You really do have to work work at it and know and dig deep and know what it is that the problem is so that you, Karen, can help get it out.
Yeah. And it's such a beautiful, your journey was such a beautiful journey of new self-awareness or self-awareness that grew deeper, let's say, because you did do a bunch of work beforehand. And then the tools to actually do something with it. So it's like, I'm aware, yes. But how the hell do I get out of it? And so you put those two together and you are just a rock star.
And I'll tell you that a lot of this did come up because I did start a new relationship. So the 2 years after my divorce, I was single and I hadn't met anybody, hadn't really pursued any, nothing was going on. And this was my first relationship where everything was still great, but there were things coming up because here I am in a relationship again, doing some of my old bad habits, like the codependency. And it was significant. Some of the things we work with, even how I would respond to something that my boyfriend might say, and you would turn it to say, well, how do you think he feels about that? Because now it's your internal processing that's happening and it's coming from your old relationship, right? So it was significant in recognizing that. And I think that's a big part of it, recognizing it, that you and I, like that hot pepper moment. I don't know that if I hadn't had done the work with you, that I would be still in the grocery store buying hot peppers and olives that I will never eat, that I'll sit in my refrigerator and I'll throw out unless my boyfriend eats them. But it took you to help me recognize all of it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that what you're saying about being in an intimate relationship is so vital. So there's so much work that we can do alone that we have to mm-hmm. do and that we do when we're single or in between relationships. Seinfeld had coined that phrase, master of my own domain. It's like, it's a little bit easy to be a master of your own domain, but when you bring another adult human being under the same yeah. roof or in relationship, all of a sudden that's where we get to refine the work that we've done, because
absolutely.
Those are where those intimate relationship issues are going to come up. So you had a relationship that dissolved, that ended, mm-hmm. and now you're in a new one and you've grown, and yet a bunch of growth has to happen in that new relationship as you
absolutely.
Navigate these things. Yeah,
exactly. And again, recognizing that it does and not being afraid of it or afraid to do the work. You know, it's okay. It's going to come up. It will, but just be aware.
And, you know, okay. The difference in safety, in you being a safe person, in you being in a safe relationship to share your fears, your insecurities, marriage, the marriage that ended versus the new relationship, how would you compare the level of safety that you have to actually be open and vulnerable and do the work?
I feel now I put myself first more than I ever did before. So I'm very open to say how I feel and what my needs are, rather than just the codependency of putting the other need, the my boyfriend's needs first. So it's 100% better, because I now know where I need to be happy and to also make my partner happy. Because if I'm happy, my partner's happy, because I'm not sitting around stewing, resenting, and doing the things that I may have done in the past that I didn't even realize were happening.
So that's half of the formula. The other half of the formula is that the person that you're involved with now shows up in a very different way than your ex-husband. And I think that it's important to talk about when we do the work and then enter a healthier relationship. It may not be the last relationship. It may not be the healthiest relationship. But would you say that, like, the level of safety in your marriage versus the level of safety talking to Mike and being in this relationship, how would you compare those two?
But it's,
or contrast, maybe
the con. Okay. So it's completely different, exact opposite. Whereas now I feel 100% that I am respected and cared for, and I am put first, and not every time, you know, it's a relationship, but there's never a time that I feel like my needs wouldn't be met if I needed something. Whereas in my marriage, it did not ever matter, you know, what I needed or if I wanted something, or in any respect. It was, he was selfish, self-absorbed, even in conversation. I could run home, and specifically this happened, I can run home and say, oh my God, I did the best yoga class. We hung upside down at the first time, my neck, everything feels better. And in that instant, it would just go right back to my husband. He'd just start talking about himself or what he did or blah, blah, blah. I mean, it didn't matter what I was excited about. Whereas my boyfriend is always putting me first. If we go to dinner, he doesn't eat shrimp, and he's like, let's get the shrimp fajitas. I'm like, well, you don't want shrimp, you want steak. I'll get shrimp, you get steak. And those things I was never used to, but now it's safety is unbelievable, because I'm someone that respects me and actually cares about me and what I want and what I care about and is thoughtful. What do you mean? There are thoughtful people out there. I didn't know this existed, you know? So the safety is, I can't even describe it. And just the fact that he'll ask, how was your morning? How was your afternoon? How was your evening? How was your day? You know, I didn't have that in my marriage at all. Not at all. I would work 12-hour days, and my husband would call me at work and say, what's for dinner? While he's home, and he didn't work. He only worked 9 hours a week. I worked 40 plus. And he would literally call me and say, what's for dinner? And I'll tell you, this moment, this happened, and I'm not kidding, I thought of you. That was my ex-husband and my boyfriend. I worked a 12-hour day, and he called me and said, what can I have ready for dinner? And he said, would you like sushi? He doesn't cook, but he would go get something. And I didn't get home till 8 o'clock at night. And he would say, what would you like? Okay, let's have sushi. He'd get sushi. I'm like, please eat without me. I know you're starving. He would never, ever eat without me. He would wait for me to sit and have dinner together. And that to me was just, I have a guy, I married a guy who would say, what's for dinner, as I worked this 12-hour day and I'm starving and tired, or, hey, can you pick up paper towels and toilet paper after I worked a 12-hour day? And he was home all day. Whereas the new one. So the safety is, you can see just by that one quick story, you can tell it's 100% completely opposite. Yeah. And amazing. And I'll tell you, it was hard for me in the beginning, because I couldn't believe how well he was treating me, because I was treated so badly by my husband. It was like, I just, this is what a relationship was supposed to be like, you know?
Yeah. Very unfamiliar at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In a good way.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Are you facing high conflict divorce after enduring a long-standing power imbalance with your spouse? Don't let fear and uncertainty hold you back. Our Divorce 101 program provides an experienced and compassionate guide to empower you with new techniques to manage emotional, financial, parental, and legal challenges. Visit jbddivorcesupport.com/divorce101 and get started today.
You know, this has been such a great conversation. You've had so many breakthroughs. Before we wrap up, I'd like to give each guest an opportunity to share any words of inspiration, encouragement, guidance with our listeners, many of whom are just entering this journey of divorce. Mm-hmm. What would you like to share?
I think I would share, be kind to yourself, number one. Remember that you do deserve to be happy. And I would also say, be patient and do the work. And it doesn't happen overnight. Some people, it will. And you say I was a quick study, but I was really ready for it. And I was really eager, and I put the work in. But you do need to put the work in, you know, have many conversations, let your feelings all come out, and then break them down if you need to, break down what's going on. But be patient, be kind to yourself. And there are happier days to come, and they will come. And you may have bad days, but there are many good days to come, and you deserve it, but work for it. You do need to work for it.
Yeah. Beautiful. And Maria, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And I am so delighted for how well things are going for you.
And I'm thankful to you. So thank you very much for helping me in this journey.
You're very welcome. And we will be back again real soon with another episode of Voices of Celebration. Until then, you take care.
Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey.
If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women throughout one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.
Are you facing high-conflict divorce after enduring a long-standing power imbalance with your spouse? Don't let fear and uncertainty hold you back. Our Divorce 101 program provides an experienced and compassionate guide to empower you with new techniques to manage emotional, financial, parental, and legal challenges. Visit jbddivorcesupport.com/divorce101 and get started today.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.